Good evening and shalom, most precious saints of God. This is the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I'm Sheila Crawford, the Lord's servant. Thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with some news. As we are all watching to see what Russia's next move will be toward igniting a possible World War III, Israel has been hit again with 150 more missiles from Gaza. And yet, Obama, heavily pressured by the Arab League, which, by the way, summit began today in Kuwait, but Obama's applying added pressure to Netanyahu, even more than he has been, to accept the fact that the Palestinians, led by Mahmoud Abbas, just will not recognize Israel's right to have their own state. And yet, Obama is perturbed with Netanyahu for stating he will not be releasing any more prisoners. But why would he? Abbas has not fulfilled any of his obligations as originally promised, even after last week's White House meeting, which, by the way, as far as anyone can tell, no progress was made. Anyway, in the meantime, and this is big news, Israel has closed all its embassies and consulates worldwide. You heard right. This is unprecedented, and they're just saying it's because the workers are striking. But few believe that they're going on strike. Something is going on, and they're just told to pretend they're going on strike. However, if war does break out and Israel is involved, they will be victorious. Of course, I'm thinking of Psalm 83, where the remaining enemies instead will be begging Israel for a peace agreement. Remember, with the first blood moon of a tetrad, which is soon upon us, and the last two tetrads, Israel encountered two victorious wars, as in 48-49 and again in 67, it is a probability that a war will likely happen again. Because, as the saying goes, history does repeat itself. And the Bible predicts it. And lastly, in spite of what the Malaysians have now declared and with the so-called floating debris in the Indian Ocean, I'm still believing that Flight 370 landed somewhere else, possibly in the Taliban-controlled area of eastern Pakistan that borders on Iran, and sitting in some hangar to be used at some point, perhaps as a torpedo. And obviously, Israel thinks it as well to close its embassies and mobilizing air defenses and scrutinizing all approaching civilian aircraft and much more. Something's brewing. So what happened to all the people on that plane? That's a good question. Maybe hostages, or sadly, maybe not. One thing is pretty sure. There are some dangerous days ahead, and we need to witness as never before. So what a fitting topic for tonight as we continue with part two of the Rapture series that I hope you have thus far enjoyed. But why wouldn't you? It's our blessed hope. And boy, do we need to hold on to that. Now don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Havarim. That's Hebrew for peace to you, our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on WHKW 1220 Christian Radio. I'm John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, the Reverend Sheila Crawford. We pray you will be challenged by the next hour of Bible study to become a mature Christian believer in Yeshua, equipped to do any good work and be ready to give an intelligent answer to those who ask about the hope within you. And that is our subject tonight, our blessed hope, the rapture, and the many scripture verses in both testaments that proclaim this soon to come event. And just let me give you a little heads up. You will need a piece of paper and a pen, unless you're driving. Okay? Let's have a moment of prayer before we begin. Father, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we thank you for the opportunity to broadcast the truth of your awesome word again for our listeners and supporters and their families. May you extend the wings of your protection over all of us, and especially those abroad in military service, particularly the children of our listeners, like Elijah Buckles, whose father is our webpage engineer, and he's serving in Afghanistan fighting a tough, dangerous war. Remember, Father, those who have written to us or phoned or emailed us with requests for healing and salvation for their loved ones. Meet all their needs in your mercy. And thank you, as always, for your Spirit that you have given us to guide us to the truth. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And shalom mishpachah.
Oh, there we go.
Which means peace to my family. And if you are a child of God, then you are the family of God as well.
Amen to that, too.
Last time, we began a teaching series on the topic of Jesus calling up his bride, well known as the rapture. Now, Paul describes this event and tells us to be comforted because of it. Why comforted, John?
Why comforted? Because we won't be here for the most devastating time the earth has ever had to go through or ever will again. Hey, like the flood. Not since, besides the flood. This is worse than the flood.
It's called more suffering, I think.
This is the wrath of God's indignation.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's a sad time to think of all those souls that just refuse to make Jesus Lord over their life and would rather take a chance of going through something like that.
I know. That isn't what's going on right now, folks. The wrath of God. God's indignation is something totally different what's going on now. It's
right.
We're seeing hundreds of times worse. Yeah, we're seeing some a little hint at it, but it's going to be terrible.
It's coming, there's no doubt.
And you can escape it.
That's right. And God told Jesus even told us the signs and said that they would be speeding up just before he would come back. And we're seeing that today. We saw another earthquake in an unusual area, many aftershocks. But today, we're going to do something a little different. We will actually bypass the news part and continue the teaching we began last week on the rapture, because there is so much information on this subject. So just let's get into it, and I encourage you to listen to last week's program titled Rapture Part 1 on our webpage and use any, actually, of the archived programs as your personal Bible study. All you have to do is fast forward past the news on any of the programs to listen to a wealth of information, and each program is titled, and it's free.
Great, and if after listening you are blessed, please consider any donation, which will help to keep us going here. These are actually very, what we'd call, meaty teachings, to say the least. And these are on the air for your growth as a mature Christian believer.
That's right. That's right. Okay, now last time we called your attention to the fact that there is no passages in either the Old Testament or the New Testament that say the church will go through the time called Jacob's trouble.
And that's Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And it is never called the time of the church's trouble.
No, it isn't. We're going to talk a lot about the beginning part, at least, of the book of Revelation tonight. Because, really, everybody says to me, oh, the book of Revelation, it's so hard. And I don't think so, especially because it really is in chronological order. It does have an occasional, what we call parenthetical verses. And these are verses of, like, anticipation of how it will be later. In other words, this experience had to be very overwhelming for John the Revelator. And God, on occasion, will show him, hey, don't worry, it's going to get better. And you'll see some verses describing either the millennial kingdom or something later on. In the case of chapter 12, that's a huge parenthetical chapter, and it's a complete summary going all the way back to the book of Genesis. To Revelation.
To Revelation, yeah.
So if you keep this in mind, folks, the book of Revelation, it's really pretty simple.
Actually, it is much easier than the major prophets of the Old Testament, like Isaiah.
Oh, it is. And, of course, the reason for that being is that There's so many of those wars, the Assyrians and the Egyptians and
in
all
Isaiah.
These. Yeah, and you have to know history to kind of be able to not confuse it with what's going to happen with what's already happened.
Oh, good point.
So I love the book of Revelation. I highly recommend it. It's the first book that I really took apart and studied thoroughly, mm-hmm. and I guess that's why I teach it so much these days. But let's just talk again about the... Did I miss my place here?
No, you didn't. You said, you're right. You're right on the
money
here. You're right.
I thought I missed it.
No.
Okay.
We're on track.
In Revelation, mm-hmm. John begins his writings describing the vision that he has of Jesus Christ standing in the middle of seven lampstands in verse 12. And we have the beauty of Jesus telling John in verse 20 that the lampstands represent the church, to which he will, in the very next two chapters, describe the church age and break it down prophetically, church by church, chronologically, to represent the entire church age, beginning with the birthing church of Ephesus, all the way to the last sleeping church of Laodicea.
Is that our church? No.
It's definitely
here
today, but I'm not a member.
Okay, I'm not either.
Okay.
I wasn't snoring, I promise you. You know.
So in chapter 1, John the Revelator has his vision of Jesus Christ, and in chapters 2 and 3, it's all about the church age, and is actually renamed to the churches more than 20 times in the first three chapters of Revelation.
Mm.
So it's interesting that in chapter 4... he begins with, in that first verse of chapter 4, saying, after this. And then he goes on to describe what happens after this. After this is metatata in the Greek, and it means after what he just talked about.
Oh.
Which is the church age.
Hmm. It's more than just a little segue into what's coming. It actually means...
after the church age.
After the church age. Oh.
And we see that mm-hmm. John is called up to heaven, and he is not only a type of the church, but mm-hmm. because Jesus makes John see that now the seven lamps are up there as well with him in verse 5 of chapter 4. And then after that, we never see the church mentioned again until we return as his wife in Revelation 19:7. And in fact, when Jesus is closing each letter to the seven churches, he actually says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We never see that again. And in fact, in Revelation 13, after John's describing the beast, John pleads to his people, if any man have an ear, let him hear. So he's saying it again, but this time he did not mention to the churches, as was said so many times, at least seven in verses 2 and 3. He doesn't mention
to
the churches.
He doesn't mention that. And you're saying, too, also that the lampstands that John sees in heaven is a pretty good picture that that's where the churches are, or that's where the church is.
Right, because Jesus told them it represents
the church. And then the next time, the next thing you see is that here,
they're
John,
in
they're in heaven.
Along with John, who represents the church also.
Wow, now that's cool. Now that really is cool. Now that's pretty plain.
But we're definitely not here at the end of chapter 3. Chapter 4, I believe we get called up. Yeah. I believe that is the rapture scriptures.
Yeah.
And...
because that phrase, you know, when he says, let anyone who has an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To the churches is missing.
Yeah, it's not there. Not in chapter 13.
Wow. Now, this is just a fraction of the many proofs that we will be covering over the next programs coming up. You know, we're going to really explore this because this is important.
That's right. And in the book of Revelation, so I believe the rapture occurs at Revelation 4:1. And then we'll, if you continue to read, you'll see in chapter 5, Jesus Christ is now crowned as king. Is given his duties on a scroll that all kings are given when they're crowned king. They're given their duties.
Oh.
There's a word for that.
Duties?
I can't remember it right now.
We'll call it duties.
I think it's called a deuce. But
okay.
I'm not going to go there. But I already did, so I'll stop.
Okay.
Well, let's rewind that.
Let's rewind that.
But anyway, he's given his duties on a scroll that he will begin to unseal, and we see that in chapter 6. So, I stress that, again, it's not just a few scriptures that we're going to be bringing to your attention, but many pondering points to consider. So if you don't like something that I say for whatever reason, just throw it away or set it aside, because I got a lot more.
Well, not like the other viewpoints. They only have a few viewpoints, and the scriptures are misinterpreted a lot, taken out of context many times. In many cases, these are just opinions.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that.
And that is sad.
But we have facts. Now, let me just bring this point up, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know the church has suffered with many martyrs, but the outcome of that is for the glory of God. That might sound harsh, but it is stated by Jesus when he told Peter at the end of his life he would end up dying a martyr, but it would be for the glory of God.
And that can be found in John 21st chapter and verse 19.
Yes, it's right there. And let's face it, it is for the glory of God. If you can stand up and say, I will not deny him, mm-hmm. and be willing to die for him, that's to God's glory. But it has nothing to do with the wrath of God, which is a detailed, specific time talked about in Zephaniah 1:15-18. You get a good description of that in the Old Testament. But it's different than being martyred, and is on the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
For the sin of unbelief.
They can find that in John chapter 16 and verses 8 through 9, and also John chapter 3, verse 35. So
that's right. Now,
to get that, write it down.
That's right. Write it down, people. That's why you have a pencil and paper. And if not, then if you're driving your car, listen to it later on the archived shows.
Very good.
But anyway, this judgment is a very specific span of time talked more about in his word than anything else, this upcoming judgment.
Sheila, I've heard some people say that this wrath of God is a term for the final judgment for unbelievers in hell. What say you?
Well, I say that sure, that I could understand, and that would be somewhat plausible, especially to someone that doesn't really study the word. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been studying end time prophecy for an awfully long time.
I'm a witness to that. I can vouch for you.
Yeah, but here's the facts. Jesus himself, more than once, called the tribulation in the book of Revelation the wrath of God. With the opening of the very first seal judgments of Revelation 6, remember we said, we're called up to heaven in the fourth chapter, he receives the scroll in the fifth chapter, and in the sixth chapter, he's unsealing the seals, called the seal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? And at the end of the bowl judgments in Revelation 15, and those are the worst judgments, it says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete.
That can't just be referring to hell.
Now, how could it be? Because hell is not complete. It will be there forever.
Oh. Interesting.
Very important things that we're bringing up here, people.
Yeah. How do we miss stuff like this, Sheila? How do we miss stuff like, I mean, I didn't see these things in the Bible.
Well, it's, again, just paying attention, read in context, read the whole Bible, not just the, you know, few scriptures that someone gives you to make a point.
Uh-huh.
Know what his whole plan is, and then it just comes. And then he has given me the gift of it, I guess, because he does give the gift of teachings to some. But it's all there. There's the wrath of God, and it's the mm-hmm. tribulation period. Now, again, I want to remind you that, as I know, he does chasten his people. And it's to bring his children back to a close relationship. But once again, the wrath is a specific future event not meant for the righteous bride. And give you a couple more scriptures.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God has not appointed us, meaning the church, to wrath. And in Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Revelation in chapter 11, 18 says, the nations were angry and your wrath has come.
Now, that wrath is number 3709 in your Strong's. It's orge, and it means a specific punishment time. It's wrath of God.
And every time I read these scriptures, that word wrath was that same word in all the scriptures
and
I just mentioned.
And all the ones that you just read, it's all the same word.
Okay, so we are talking about...
In Revelation, Revelation as well as Thessalonians.
Wow, okay. That is something. Now, we mentioned last week that Sheila would teach in context 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's see, do you want to take a little break and then we can come back?
Yeah,
to
I don't
that.
Want to stop in the middle of that, so why don't we take our break now?
Okay. Let's see, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all your donations are tax deductible and extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well if you have one. Now, be sure to check out the webpage and all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift for the gift season. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song and a great segue into our continued teaching of the rapture. A song entitled, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Stay with us now.
November 9th at approximately 2 p.m. Eastern, your state or territory will participate in a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. It will be heard on radio and seen on local cable and satellite TV. As the federal, state, tribal, territorial, and local governments prepare for and test their capabilities, this event serves as a reminder that everyone should establish an emergency preparedness kit and emergency plan for themselves, their families, communities, and businesses. Visit FEMA.gov for more information.
The holiday season is upon us once again. Already the stores have begun displaying holiday decorations, and soon the commercials will begin advertising this year's must-have gifts. However, the holiday season is more than running from store to store seeking the perfect gift for that special someone or planning the annual holiday party. It's also about faith, charity, hope, and love. What better way to understand the true meaning of the season than visiting the place where it all began, Israel? Imagine standing at the Western Wall in Jerusalem and looking up at the ancient stones, the last remnant of the Jewish temple, or walk down the Via Dolorosa, the same road Jesus walked from the place of Pontius Pilate's sentencing to Golgotha, or learn about the rich history and culture by visiting the world-famous Israel Museum, with collections that rival the Metropolitan in New York. If you've ever considered going to Israel, start by going to my website, BillBennett.com, and click on the Experience Israel banner to receive a free Israel DVD. Experience Israel. You'll never be the same. That's BillBennett.com.
You're a pastor, and you're always looking for new things to make Sunday worship meaningful and inspirational. Well, pastors all across the country each week turn to WorshipHouseMedia.com. They love the extensive library of church media and sermon video illustrations. Plus, Worship House Media has worship songs and backgrounds. You should try it too. With a variety of topics, you're sure to find a video that fits your sermon. Go to WorshipHouseFree.com to download a free video to help you make this Sunday's worship more exciting. Go to WorshipHouseFree.com.
Life was filled with guns and war. All of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a baby. The sun has come and you've been.
Great song. I wish, you know, Sheila's singing along with this, and she's singing, I wish they'd all been ready, because she's ready.
I'm ready.
She says, I'm ready. Well, welcome back.
And you can be ready, too.
That's right. You can be ready. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was cool. That was done by DC Talk, and it was originally written and performed by Larry Norman. And if you remember who he is, you're just as old as we are. And again, we have opened the phone lines. I apologize for not telling you that sooner, but the numbers for your end time question is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Okay? A reminder, our next show for our ministry's hour will be next Sunday.
No, not next Sunday.
It's not next
Sorry.
Sunday. Okay. Okay, I didn't get that memo. When is it going to be?
November 20th.
November 20th, okay, and that's again at 6 p.m., so that's not next Sunday. It's a little farther ahead there, but November 20th, 6 p.m., be there. If you want to be on the mailing list, just send your request for that to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can just snail mail us if you don't have the Internet, and send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If possible, please tuck in a little love offering and help us stay on the air.
Yes, and please, if you feel like maybe you can help sponsor this show, please give me a call. We could use some people that are willing to give a little for that.
Be brave. Helps your business, and you can spread the gospel.
And a lot more teachings would be on the air more often.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I hope that during the break you got your paper and pencil out if you hadn't before and your Bible.
And by the way, if you're just joining us, we are talking about the many scriptures that tell us about the event called, what we call the rapture, but the many scriptures in both Testaments.
Yeah, so we probably won't get to the Old Testament until next time. But
yeah,
we'll be doing this for a little while.
Okay, so.
Because we don't want to rush through a lot of information. By the time we get all done with this series, if someone still thinks we're going through the tribulation, please sit down with me. Call me. We will get together. If someone that you know but still believes after you've given them all this information, let's get together. I'm willing, open. I, you know, live in Cleveland or around there.
Mm-hmm.
I can come anywhere almost.
It's a good thing to get this straightened out. Why? Why?
Well, because it's your blessed hope, and otherwise you're stockpiling and getting so nervous that you're not, you know, that you're going to suffer, and
mm-hmm.
It's just awful time. You just don't want to think that.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. It's stinking thinking.
Yeah. Well, what about people today that say, and I don't want to hold us up too much, but they say, well, what we're going through right now is the tribulation, or they're saying, no, this is the wrath of
God. Are you kidding?
And, well, you think about that big tsunami. You think about there's earthquakes. You know, we had a big earthquake.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're right there. They would think that probably,
and
but it's not the whole world.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
That's going to be happening to the whole world. That's what will be the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it's going to be worse than what we've seen?
Oh, yeah.
Way worse.
Way worse.
Okay.
Absolutely way worse.
Like Noah's flood worse?
I think so, because of the devastation and the suffering will be longer. It won't just be a drowning, you know.
Okay.
It'll be, you know, famines and you know, nuclear blasts that are not very good.
Okay. So we're definitely seeing some previews of that, I think.
Yeah. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't wait another moment. Get down on your knees, repent for your sins, individual sins, and get right with God.
Yeah. He's willing and waiting to get right with you. He wants
that's
you.
Right. He doesn't want anyone to perish.
That's right. The soul Amen. Takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Don't right. die without, don't leave this earth without Jesus.
That's right. You're only
a heartbeat away
from death.
That's right.
Okay. Second chapter of Thessalonians, the second letter to Thessalonians. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. Because I'm so excited about this. This is an important chapter that is actually often misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it from the beginning.
All right.
Paul said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to meet him." First and foremost, we have to start off in context. He's telling you what the topic is. And the topic is, John?
The coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ and our gathering together to meet him.
Right. That's
that wasn't
the topic.
Hard. That's
okay.
Okay.
And it's important because you're going to see why in a minute.
Okay.
Verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, notice he said either by a spirit. That's an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Evil spirits can speak to you and make you think the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're grounded in the true word of God because you know the word, that won't happen.
Good reason to get grounded in the word of God, isn't it?
It's very good reason. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, and that's always talking about still future, beginning with the tribulation period, and actually 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. We've gone over that other times. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. A lot of information right here in this verse, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, where it says, unless the falling away comes first. The Greek word is apostasia, and according to the Greek scholar Ken Wiest, he says that that apostasia does mean falling away, but it can mean a departure as well, and from the earth.
It can mean that. And that
it's a departure from something, okay? And
he's a Greek scholar.
Unfortunately, the interpreters make you think that that departure must be from the faith.
Well, that's what most people think because it seems to read that way.
Well, that's right, and it's really an incorrect reading because mm-hmm. if you take it in context, okay. and that is the whole point of this chapter.
Are you going to ask me again what the context was?
Go ahead.
Concerning the return or the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ and our gathering together to meet him.
Okay, it's talking about the rapture.
Yeah, just thought we'd go.
Okay, mm-hmm. So he says, don't anyone deceive you in verse 3 by any means. For that day will not, N-O-T, not, come unless the departure comes first.
Departure.
And then the Son of Man, the Son of, the man of sin is revealed, the Son of Perdition. And we're going to have verification of what I just said when we get down to verse 8 also.
Okay, cool.
So it's the departure first. The Greek word is apostasia. It could also mean radical departure. It's number 646, but the Strong's doesn't even get it. You have to go to a Greek scholar mm-hmm. to see it.
Kenneth Wiest.
Yes, but however, the amplified version of the Bible, the footnote for this particular scripture, down at the bottom, it says, a possible rendering is the departure of the church. So, I'm not alone here.
Right. Yeah, this isn't, you're not.
No.
No.
Now, I'm going to take a little quick break before we continue on, because I want to also do some confirmation. By just looking over at Timothy, which is the next book, in chapter 4, he says, and again, this is the context, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. But he's saying the faith. That is the context. depart from the faith.
Okay.
What's interesting is that word depart is apostemi. So it's even a different word from the faith, and it means to draw back. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to backslide, but the scripture says they will draw back from the word of God. Because where do we get our faith?
From the word of God.
That's right.
Reading and understanding.
And isn't that what we're seeing today? People are not really reading the word of God. If they do, it's very little.